I met this guy, Adam Ginsberg, you know, he's a close friend of mine. Before I met Adam, I was on a plane flying to Atlanta, Georgia. And I met an airline steward that said to me at the counter, she said, I was hoping to get an emergency seat by the window because the first class was booked. So she said, when you get on the plane, there's a good chance of getting an emergency seat by the window because, you know, I'm not a small guy. I don't know who's sitting next to me. So I board the plane, I'm on the plane, and I'm sitting next to a guy probably twice as big as me, two guys. I keep looking at this emergency window seat, about to jump into the seat. Then I see this tall guy coming, Mr. Adam Ginsberg with glasses, sitting in the seat. I'm not saying that, but I'm looking at him. Like, why you take my seat? So he came over and introduced himself. And I said, very nice to meet you. I had a smile on my face, and I was like, I really wanted that seat. But then on the way back from Atlanta, I happened to go first class. Adam happened to be sitting next to me, and we had a conversation, and he told me that he's a public speaker. We had all became good friends, and that's how all this came about, because he's just a great, genuine, great guy. I love guys like him because he's so positive, and Adam, thank you for coming here. Anyway, what I want to talk to you about today is about fear. Getting motivated and maximize your personal power, because my whole life was about fear. You see, every one of us has fear inside of us. To me, that's the universal war, maximizing your personal power and minimizing your fear. That's everything in life. When I was born, about 6 months, I lost about 80% of my hearing. I had a severe ear infection, and this affected my speech. And I started to wear hearing aids like the age of maybe 3 or 4 years old, because my mother caught my hand, they wouldn't respond. So I had the old fashioned hearing aid that would be in my ear down to the chest, and I had a different strap. And you know, children do not have the psychological defenses to defend themselves. So as a kid, I was very introverted, very shy, and I remember kids would call me names like Jeff Hughes, Jeff Louis. They would punch me in the chest, hoping to break my hearing aid. And I would go home and tell my father about it, and he would give me another beating because I came home feeling sorry for myself. At the same time, having a father that I was rejected, I was born, so I was dealing with all these different issues. I was very introverted as a child. It's like a real life walking baby. And I could fantasize a lot. But one thing I remember as a kid, I always said to myself, I'm never going to feel sorry for myself. I'm never going to take a second seat for anybody. Because life is so sure. Life is a battlefield. Life has choice. And I came from nothing. I was poor. I didn't have anything. I mean, everybody put labels on me saying, this guy is doomed. He can't hear. He can't speak. I had to be a speech impediment. And I remember I was nervous talking in front of people, being shy. So we got me started to save my life. I used to read a lot of comic books. The Incredible Hulk, Superman. Believe it or not, page after page, I was upset about power. I said, why am I so upset with power? Because it made me feel good about myself. I used to read all these stories. And my imagination. All these roles that I wanted to play, becoming a hero, being like a devil, sheriff, different things in life. And I have these visions, these different dreams, and I embrace it so much. Well, I had a lot of fear as a child because I was always told that if you had your hearing, you'd be deaf. If you had your hearing, you'd be a police officer. If you had your hearing, you'd be this and this and this. I kept hearing the word it. But I never really felt sorry. I never wanted to take a second seat to anyone. So I discovered bodybuilding. I remember one time I went to the movies, I saw this guy on the screen, Hercules, he reads, I remember that, you know, sees his body, sees the muscles, clothes, his lover. I said, wow, there is a mixed universe. And then I discovered bodybuilding magazines and read about it and how important it is to work out. To go to my only way to survive. I didn't have anything else. I had a father that was dealing with rejection, very strict with me, and I was having a difficult time in school. I was afraid to speak. You know, somebody said to me 50 years ago, I would speak in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. I would just laugh and say, I'm going to speak in front of people because all these different labels in my whole life. But the biggest factor I've learned about myself, which we all have, is the fear factor. We all have this fear. And you know, I believe the greatest gift you can give yourself is free yourself. Free yourself of that fear. There's a better quality of life. And there's ways of doing it. All you really can do is minimize your fear. You know, for example, like when you have this fear, you think about the negativity, it leads to that anger, and you start hating yourself, getting angry, then you become hateful, then you suffer. Because when we get nervous, we have fear, we have a tendency to transfer the anger instead of dealing with ourselves. Always trying to find a fear. But I like fear. I like surrendering myself to fear. Guys got to deal with embracing fear, because fear affects everything in life. It affects like relationships, it affects alcohol, it affects obesity, job situation, life, everything. If you let that fear stand in front of you and dominate you, you're never going to be successful in any aspect of life. That's why my situation, all these things that I've had, I made it happen because I took action. Nobody else can do it for me or do it for you. So I took action and I took one step at a time. I want to be a bodybuilding champion. People look at me, friends of mine say they were negative, they said, no, you can't. I became successful, I won Miss Universe. After I won Miss Universe, I had a speech problem. They couldn't understand my interview, so I had to work on my speech. To learn to speak, how to speak by the feeling of my tongue to articulate the words, because I had to go to be a speech competitor. And I was told by my father at the time that, you know, my life being a misfit, you're never going to amount to anything. So I took all that negativity and put it aside and take all the necessary things I could do to maximize myself. You see, all of you have a personal power with yourself. And you have to have that passion. And if you're passionate about something, embrace it. I don't care what it is. It could be anything. It could go from like a hammer to a nail, screwdriver, whatever it is. And to be amazed about myself, I remember reading about other people that have similar fears and how they conquer it. The best way to conquer your fear is taking action going towards the fear instead of running from the fear. A perfect example. If you want to be a public speaker, you talk in front of one or two people, and maybe 5-10 people, but not to judge yourself. Everything is focused on yourself. That's why I always believe competing with thyself. Because the best situation to be in a bodybuilding champion, maybe pay attention to my body, because it's important to combine the mind and body together. Because if you're on a poor diet eating tons of sugar, unrefined sugar, you're not going to function well. You have to have that attitude. For example, one time I was training this girl. I'm training people for many years, over 30 years. I had one client of mine. It was a woman, she was overweight. And I trained her for like a month. And I remember telling all these different exercises, what to do, and how to eat. A month goes by, 2 months, nothing changed. And I said, I'm very successful when I train people. So one time I went in front of my house to greet her, and I opened the door. She realized I went to greet her to say hello. I opened the door and I see all those donuts falling out. I'm going down the street. A big box of Dunkin' Donuts, a pack of 12. So I look at her, she looks at me. Here's my answer. So she started to cry and she said her father was in the Holocaust. And he forced her to eat in a certain way what he wanted to eat, and so she was rebelling against him. And she changed after that, because we go into denial. Sometimes we have different environments we grow up with, different parents, we have a tendency to rebel. Forget about the rebellion has to stop. Because this goes for any age. For example, I have somebody in my family still rebelling against her mother. She refused to eat what she wanted to eat, and she refused to eat what she wanted to eat, and she wanted to be in control of herself because she still rebelled against her mother. We all have that rebellion issue. I got another great story. One time, about 20 years ago, I received a phone call, and this doctor friend of mine said, I need to train a client of mine. We met him a couple of times, but he wanted to find us and he wanted to come to your house. His name was Michael Jackson. Yeah. I said to myself, I had to get aside to meet him or be intimidated, because Michael Jackson, I mean, the icon of icon. So it was 10 o'clock at night, and Michael comes with his bodyguard, SUV, shows up, and I know he had a mask on, he had gloves. He brought me down the driveway, and I said, "Hi, Michael," and he hands me this paper bag. And he goes, "No, no, no," he's mumbling. I couldn't understand him. So I take the paper bag, I throw it in the garbage, and he goes to the house with me. And he sits down, and he says to my wife, "Where's my dinner?" I said, "I don't know," but I realized I threw the paper back and gave it to the box. And then I went to the garbage, got the dinner back. I gave it to him, and he was shaking his head. Anyway, we became great friends. But the interesting thing is about Michael, he's such a wonderful person, he's so damaged. Because I love his passion for music, and he was attracted to my passion for fitness. So we were like two kids together, having fun. And he told me that when he went through his father issue, that as a child, you introverted and he had all these dreams, he couldn't have friendships because people thought he was like a freak, because he felt like a freak. So we share a lot of that together. And he's been a close friend of mine for 20 years, but he passed on. It's amazing that you never know what individual you deal with, what damage, what insecurity people have. But Michael's biggest obstacle was consistency dealing with his body, because he had difficult sleeping. He wanted to exercise, because you get to a certain age. Like after the age of 35, you stop building muscle, but you can still increase the muscle mass. And that's why many individuals panic. They have to start working out because they're afraid of their sagging skin. But it's important to all of you, I don't care what kind of physical shape you are, it's all about being connected with yourself, eating properly, sleeping properly, and training properly. Now, I've been working out for 52 years. I'm 64 years old. If I didn't listen to myself and didn't do this, all this wouldn't have happened. Who knows what I would have been doing? I probably would have done bad things, probably done drugs, or doing being down, being insecure by myself. But that's why motivation is so powerful, because, you know, life is a battlefield. Every day we wake up, we're going to deal with problems, we're going to deal with relationships, we're going to deal with kids fighting, yelling, screaming, all different aspects of life. I'm on the way here from the airport, I look to my right, I see this huge graveyard. And I see all the gravestones, I'm saying to myself, all these people from the past, they're gone. We're here for a short time. You want to maximize what you have, you want to take every day. The past is gone. You can't think about the future, about the moment now. That's why every one of us is handicapped one way or another, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. When you really want to maximize what you have yourself inside of yourself, that's what makes you rich. Every day, you know, if I have a different situation of fear, I conquer it, because you want to change negative hormones to positive hormones. That's why a lot of times you're in a situation where you have a fear factor, and you tackle it, it minimizes it. Yeah, a perfect example, when I was a kid, I was a little socially retarded. I was afraid to go to parties or talk to people because I was insecure. I want people to know that I had a hearing problem, but I have a speech problem. So I would hide from that, I would refrain from that. I would pretend. Who suffered? Me. You get to the point that you take a little step to improve that social aspect of mine. That's why I've been able to talk a little more, reach out. And I would tell these people that I have a hearing problem, I can't hear perfect, but please, you know, try to enunciate, articulate, so I can understand you. And that gave me more confidence in myself, instead of hiding from yourself. Because you go into denial. When you go into denial, then you get into a deep denial, and then you give up. Now, my favorite story of dealing with fear and changing negativity to positive is I was training for the Miss Universe competition when I was 21. I needed to get a suntan so bad. I was climbing, I was driving a Volkswagen. And I remember I only had a couple hours to get a tan to the beach. So I remember driving down to the beach. Can you see me driving this old Beetle Volkswagen? I'm sitting there, driving to the beach, I can't find a parking spot. So I'm driving around the block, No spot. I started to panic, so I make one more turn around. I see this small car, like a Datsun. So I'm looking around, nobody's around. So I park my car just next to his, whoever owns the car. I got out, I got one of his car. I picked his car, I moved to the first side of the street. I got in the back, I did the same thing. I literally moved that car into the middle of the street. And I took my boat back and I parked right in the spot. Then I see a black and white. Then I see the guy who owned the car coming jumping on my beetle. Both by the screaming down, cussing me. How dare you do such a thing? So the officer gets out of the car, he's looking at me, and sees this guy jumping at me, and the guy's trying to tell him what's going on. To make a long story short, the guy got a ticket for double parking. He got a second ticket for disturbing the peace. And got a third ticket for assaulting a police officer. Guess what? I got a sentiment. That's what's all about, being positive. I always love to listen to my heart. But you know your heart feels. It doesn't think. That's why a lot of times you're working out or you're doing something, you gotta listen to your heart because you listen to hear. The mind controls the body. It's important to have these two together. That's why in my family, all my kids now are personal trainers, and they embrace fitness and bodybuilding because now it's changed so much because, you know, in the movie business, it's the oldest actors now. Working out and really getting in shape. That's important to take good care of yourself because there's so many machines you can do and work out. If you can, you have like different injuries. So that really makes a difference. And I find that helping you tremendously. And there's another story I wanted to tell you. I remember for years, because of my discipline for working out, I did a movie with your favorite governor, Schwarzenegger, did a movie called Pumping Iron. So when that came out in the mainstream, it gave me a chance to realize I wanted to be an actor because I was front of the camera and giving me a chance to realize that this is what I want to feel, what I want to be. But I didn't tell anyone I wanted to be an actor because I thought they would be laughing at me because this guy, all this muscle, he has a speech problem, wanted to be an actor. So all that changed because I ended up doing the TV series of course, Incredible Hulk that changed my life. I learned how to do all this makeup. The most common question I get asked all the time, how long did the makeup take? 4 hours. Damn. Sometimes I get makeup 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. I'll be in that makeup 12 to 14 hours a day. It takes like an hour and a half to remove the makeup. So about the second season, one night I was really frustrated. I said, I don't want to take this makeup off by 2 in the morning, so I have this makeup on every Sunday to get in the car and drive home. I'm on the freeway driving. I got the teeth, the wig, the whole makeup. I got a 3 bathroom on. I'm driving. I'm on the freeway driving, and there's another. The guest was driving the car along next to me, and I remember looking straight ahead, and I looked to the right. He looked at me, and he cracked the car. And I said, what am I going to do? How am I going to explain this if I get pulled over? You can find the story. But it's one of the funny stories of my life, because I remember the fact that, you know, going through the makeup, you know, sometimes you guys just let it go. You're going to have fun, enjoy your life. So that show changed me tremendously, getting a chance to travel all over the world. But the fear inside of me didn't be an actor because they always told when I was younger that you can never be an actor because of the way you walk, the way you articulate, the way you sound. So what I've done, I ended up doing stage plays, theater. I forced myself to do theater. Did you know Vincent Bergen, the actor, every time he did a stage play, he would throw up before he went on stage, every time he's done a play. Nobody knew that. It shows you the fact that even though that he was upset, nervous, but he still went on stage to perform, and the audience will never know how he felt on the inside. But I remember how the plague built. It was like arsenic on a lake. This was like the biggest challenge in my life. And I said to myself, I can't be extremely nervous because opening night you have to trust it and then it was you. And I was terrified. I wanted to run a high somewhere, but at the same time the voice inside of me said, take action, go forward, don't care what they think, just go out, get the performance, don't belittle yourself, shoot yourself down, because a lot of times if you internalize on yourself, your performance goes down, everything goes down, that negativity pulls you down like this. If you want to release yourself from negativity, and that's that fear, be released from you. So I went out and performed, and I did very well that day. Even though I thought it did terrible, I remember the first time I stepped on stage, you know, with the voice out and acting, it changed my life, but it was better than I expected because thinking inside myself, internalizing, that's what can happen. A perfect example, when I was 22 years old, 21, I had to compete in a contest called the Mr. Eastern America. And I remember I was working on my posing routine, and I was nervous. But I go on that stage, you know, when you're posing the bodybuilding, I was nervous about tripping or falling. I kept hearing negative thoughts in my head. So when I was on stage in the competition, I did trip, I almost fell. And I got angry at myself. I said, that's it. I have to stop this negativity and to continue posing. And I finished the posing routine. And I told myself, for the rest of my life, whenever you have to give a performance, whenever you have to do a job interview, whenever you have to do any kind of situation, do not put that negative thought in your head. Just don't do it. Eliminate it. And four years ago, I got a phone call and said I'm going to be on the Celebrity Apprentice. Oh boy. Before I went on the show, I knew that they expected to see all blonde, no brain. Throughout the show, the only athletes that they could deny shows because I had to deal with branding. And on the show, I had to deal with like 17, 18 egos. And these are guys from all walks of life. We're talking about entrepreneurs, very successful people. So, like I said before, that was that fear inside of you. I told myself, they know better than I am. Nobody better than any of you. It's all how you feel by yourself. So I'm honest with myself. I went out there and I exposed myself and I dealt with the fact and became very successful. It's all how you feel with yourself. That's why you've been trying to yourself, be nice to people. That's why I keep stressing to you about the fear factor because it's a universal rule. Like myself, I love to maximize my personal power. I could be 5'6, 5'4, 5'2, man, woman, doesn't matter. And to be the best you can be with yourself. If you can accomplish that every day, you are rich. Money, everything is secondary. All of that comes to play. Your health, your mind, your well-being, that's the whole key to being successful in life. And that's why I keep stressing to you, it doesn't matter. All about paying attention. That's why I have an incredible website now. Check it out to get a chance. It's called CorrectoFit.com. It teaches you how to become your own personal trainer. A lot of people don't want to hire a trainer. They get nervous because they feel they want to have a relationship with someone. See, I can't train the whole world. The basic is a great website. It teaches you any age, any type, meal plan, how to train, what to do. And I'm involved with it, my daughter and I, because she came up with the idea. So this way you can work with yourself. That's why it's so important how you eat and how you train. I've got friends of mine who used to find that when they get depressed over the years, they do alcohol, they do drugs. Like for example, you have someone that, for example, that's overweight. They don't eat all day. They come home, they have one gigantic meal because they want that fix. After you have that fix, then you hate yourself. The same thing when it comes to this drinking alcohol. The evening is drink wine, hard alcohol, it's a fix. Afterwards, you don't feel so good. Because that could have poisoned your body. But it's not done in moderation. That's why all these things, like what fear, because sometimes you deal with rejection, you pour that alcohol. You're depressed, you eat, you do drugs. So many kids today, so many, you know, I'm a police department, sheriff's department, I've been a deputy now for 12 years. I can't tell you how many kids I see, they do in they do marijuana, up and down, speed, and fentanyl. It destroys your health, destroys your heart. And that's why, because they're afraid the deal and take action to be successful. If you feel like a failure, that could change. It's all about surrendering to fear. Take your fear and embrace it. It takes small steps to change it to make yourself into a better person. You can, you can all do it. That's why it doesn't matter any age, any type. Anyway, I think I said what I had to say. I want to say thank you for being here.